Is the sacrifice, the great redeeming work is done. The veil is rent in Christ alone, the living way to heaven is seen. The
Wesley, almost 300 years ago. He wrote it in the mid-1700s as a way of remembering the importance and the meaning of Jesus' death. Four stanzas long, each of them emphasizing a different part of the story: the sacrifice for sin, the restoration that we experience with God, the importance for every individual person, and the cosmic scope of this event. So I'd like to take a few minutes just to remind you of the truths of this season. Verse 1 says, "'Tis finished, the Messiah dies, cut off for sins but not his own. Accomplished is the sacrifice, the great redeeming work is done." It is finished. It had to be this way. Isaiah the prophet foretold of a suffering servant, one who would come to save God's people but die in the process. Redemption takes place through the death of Jesus. Forgiveness of sin, once and for all, takes place through the death of Jesus. And it happened at the time of the Passover meal, the Passover festival. The Passover, of course, was the celebration of the ancient Jews, remembering the deliverance that God had given them from slavery in Egypt, and it required the sacrifice of a perfect, pure, and spotless lamb. Jesus is that perfect sacrifice. Nothing else is needed, now and throughout all time. Verse 2 says, "The veil is rent. In Christ alone, the living way to heaven is seen. The middle wall is broken down, and all the world may enter in." The veil, the curtain, something that we read in this story from Matthew 26 and 27, the curtain was probably one of two curtains that existed in the temple complex. There was the curtain that separated the temple courts from the outside world. You had to pass through a curtain to get into the temple area, first of all. And then there was another curtain way in the middle of the temple complex, separating the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, from the holy place just outside it. And the Holy of Holies was understood to be the place where God dwelled most prominently, most perfectly. And whichever curtain it means, the curtain was torn apart from top to bottom, and it shows that God is no longer closed off from humanity. Humanity is no longer closed off from God. But it's a paradox that it took the death of Jesus, who is fully God, in order for God to be accessible to everyone. God had to die in order for God to be accessible to all. That is how far God is willing to go to be united with us. Verse 3 of this song says, 'Tis finished, all my guilt and pain. I want no sacrifice beside. For me, the Lamb is slain. 'Tis finished, I am justified.'" There's a personal element to this story of Jesus' death, a personal impact that it makes on each of us as individuals. And this personal side of things was very important to Charles Wesley and his brother John, and to the tradition that they began, the Methodist movement that they co-founded, and all of the traditions that draw their ancestry from that point, including our own. In the Church of God, we are descended from the Wesleyans. And so we remember this important side of things, that there is personal salvation. It's not just a blanket salvation. It is, but it affects the individual on a very individual, very personal basis. So the guilt and pain and shame and fear, regret and anger that we experience and feel that dominate our lives, all of these are redeemed in Jesus' death. God desires to set us free from our bondage, just as he did for the Israelites back in the time of the Exodus. We are justified, made righteous in God's eyes, because of Jesus' sacrifice. Of course, we should be careful to keep all of this personal talk in check, so that our egos don't inflate so much. It's not all about us, but the personal impact of the story cannot and should not be ignored. The fourth verse says that the reign of sin and death is over, and all may live from sin set free. Satan hath lost his mortal power, 'tis swallowed up in victory. This is a corrective to that highly individualistic verse 3. This is a cosmic verse. This shows how universal Jesus' death is. By dying, Jesus defeats sin. And by being raised from the dead, Jesus defeats death. The events of this weekend are not just for personal renewal and redemption. This is about something truly enormous: the cosmic struggle between good and evil. The story of Jesus' death and resurrection is the final chapter in that gigantic struggle. Good has defeated evil. That is the truth of our faith. And good has defeated evil not by killing the forces of evil, but by being killed and then by overcoming death itself. There is no greater enemy for God to face. If the universe were a video game, this is the final boss battle. There is nothing beyond this for God to accomplish. Even though each of us will eventually die sooner or later, death is not obliterated from the universe, even though it is defeated. We do have confidence that God is more powerful than sin and death, that God is victorious, and that sin and death are not the final word in anyone's life. Not in Jesus' life, not even in Judas Iscariot's life, not in your life or mine or in anyone else's. Good wins. Or rather, good has won. It is finished. Jesus is the sacrifice for sins. Jesus provides reunification with God. Jesus brings personal transformation. Jesus wins the cosmic victory. And all it took was his death. The light has been extinguished. It had to be this way. But Matthew knows, and we know, that the light will be restored on Resurrection Sunday. It crept into his telling of the story. in that mysterious moment when tombs were opened and dead people came back to life, which is a really odd thing for Matthew to write down and not really attested anywhere else in history. Matthew says, this became clear to everybody after Jesus rose from the dead. Matthew knows that the story ends with Jesus coming back to life. We know it too. So this story, while it is terrible and sad and awful, is ultimately a story of hope and victory.